Listen to classical music, including Mozart and Beethoven.
Hey everybody, you are listening to WHUS 91.7 FM Stores. I am your host today on Crossroads, the show where we ask our guests about the intersection of their faith life and their everyday life. I'm the Reverend Brian Blair, and my guest today is Earl McDonald.
Hello, hey Brian. How's it going?
Very good. Great to see you. Before we get around to our interview, just a couple of announcements. First, let's see, if you are on campus at UConn around lunchtime and you'd like to eat lunch while listening to a fantastic free organ concert, check out our website at St. Mark's in Stores, St. Mark's Episcopal Chapel, and see what times we're doing the organ recitals and come on by and you get yourself some free lunch there and free organ concert. Actually, let me correct that. You have to bring your lunch, but you get a free organ concert. We got some other stuff coming up there at the church, too, you might be interested in, because the day before Halloween, we're going to be reading all about the apocalypse. So come on down. If you want to grab a book, there's a book out by a guy, Lauren J. Wenig, called The Challenge of the Apocalypse. And we're going to read that for a couple of weeks, Wednesday evenings. And the first one will be the night before Halloween. So come on out and check that out. The last thing I would say, if you are here in the Willimantic area, Wyndham area Interfaith Ministry, they're doing a lot of work on the interior of their building to restructure and reorganize and can use any help from volunteers. So give them a call over at Wyndham and see what you can do to stop by and help them out. Those are my announcements. I got Earl here with me. Earl, do you have anything going on that you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, you know, as a musician and a music professor, I'm always going to have events to plug.
Yeah.
On Saturday, there's an event. It's called Piano Day. And that's at in the UConn Music Department. It's in the afternoon, I think probably starting at noon. It's an event, if there's any piano teachers out there that want to beef up their teaching techniques, you know, there's going to be lectures on that. I know I'm giving a presentation on demystifying jazz at 2 o'clock. And then on Sunday at 5 p.m., all the UConn jazz combos are going to be performing in Vonder Maiden Recital Hall.
Very nice. It's funny you say demystifying jazz. I feel like as a clergy person, I'm always trying to demystify theology and church stuff. So I don't know. Maybe I'll come check it out. You can teach me something about how to demystify things. Sounds great. Great to see you. Let's get to it. Earl, why don't you tell us what you do here at UConn?
All right. Well, I'm the director of jazz studies. I'm a full professor. I've been here since 2000, believe it or not. And so I teach all the jazz courses, direct jazz ensembles, and there's a lot of administrative duties tied in with that role as well.
Before you got here to UConn, were you teaching?
Nope. I was on the road, actually. I was touring with Maynard Ferguson's band. And touring all around the U.S. and internationally, and it was a very different lifestyle.
So for those of us who are not jazz aficionados, Maynard Ferguson, what would we need to know about Maynard Ferguson?
Well, he was a high-note trumpet player. Maynard was older when I played with him. He might have even been 80. And so he's been around for a long time at that point. He has since passed. He came up playing in Stan Kenton's band. And he had the ability to play higher than anyone else on the trumpet. He was a real phenom in that sense. And he was a very supportive band leader. And he made me his music director, which was really fun. And so I got to conduct that band, lead their rehearsals, and they performed some of the arrangements that I wrote for him.
When you say band, is that synonymous with big band?
Well, he... his name is synonymous with big band. This was maybe what we'd call a little big band. I think there were 9 players in the group.
Okay.
So he called the group Big Bop Nouveau.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Yeah.
So we ate lunch before.
Yep.
We had a conversation. You mentioned learning the trumpet.
Right.
Did your touring with him have anything to do with your decision to want to pick up the trumpet?
Absolutely not. If anything, you know, I never imagined that I would play trumpet. And
okay.
I often referred to trumpet players as trumpet lugheads, especially the ones that, you know, that aim for those high notes, not including him. You know, he was a special one. But my son, he picked up the trumpet in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to encourage him, I said, okay, so I'll learn it along with you and we can practice together and it can be our thing together. So, and it's continued. So, you know, 4 years later, I'm still playing it right alongside him. He's better than I am, but...
Did you ever get mad while you were touring and call him a lughead while you guys were you lughead?
Not him.
No, I hope not. Well, now you're teaching. So what brought you to teaching?
It was a roundabout way, I suppose. You know, I was interested in playing first, of course. But I guess when I was an undergrad student, there were certain professors, you look at them and you say, wow, this guy epitomizes success, or he looks like he's having a great time, you know, and you start to notice the difference even between the full-time professors versus the adjuncts who are, seems like they're, you know, working twice as hard and not benefiting from it in some ways, right? So, you know, I remember I had one professor, and I thought, man, that guy's really well-dressed. He's, you know, got a nice lifestyle, and he's able to talk about jazz and still play jazz in nightclubs, and he's got research funding that can help put out his incredible albums. That might be the life for me. You know? So, you know, before that, I was thinking maybe I'd go into film scoring or something, some other kind of musical career where I'd make money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably the first time that I entertained the notion. And then it just kind of built over time. You know, you pick up a few students here or there, perhaps out of financial necessity. But as you're teaching, you start to see that it helps to reinforce and solidify what it is that you actually do as a player.
Mm.
You start to understand it, and they become intertwined. And I found that I was good at explaining how to go about doing it and how to learn to play the music. And, you know, I have a long list of students that have gone on to become great professionals that are even better players than I am. You know?
Do they give you free passes to their shows, or do you got to pay like everybody else?
I've gotten the odd free ticket, yes.
At least one drink.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And you're enjoying teaching?
Yes, I am.
Good. So it was a great career move?
I absolutely. Yep.
Very good. All right. So you're here at UConn.
Yep.
Had a career as a jazz musician. And in a way, yes, still, right, as a teacher as well.
Yeah.
So that's who you are professionally. The show is all about the intersection between one's faith life and one's everyday life. And so you told us a bit about your everyday life. Can you share with us a bit about who you are as a person of faith?
So it's interesting. You know, you're making a distinction between my everyday life versus my faith. And a big preoccupation for me right now is intertwining the two. So because I'll tell you, for years, there really was a separation. There were times even where I was sort of... I would worry that my two different worlds would collide, right?
Mm.
You know, how would I possibly explain this to this other group? You know, so yeah, I'm definitely thinking in terms of being a whole person who is living out my faith. It sounds like you're asking much more than for a label. If I were to come up with a label, I guess I would say that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that even in doing that, you know, that can turn some people off, right? So sometimes labels are, maybe I shouldn't have used that label. I don't know. But but truthfully, that's, you know, that's what I am.
So certainly, at least for the audience, right, we could say you're a Christian.
Absolutely.
All right. So are you a lifelong Christian?
I guess that would depend on how you would define it. Since a young age, I attended church.
Mm-hmm.
My level of commitment has varied at different points. I'm sure that's true for everybody, right? Certainly there was definitely a period, I remember after my college years, where I pulled back and I said, okay, so this was my parents' faith. Is it my faith? And I think before I'm fully committed and before I become involved in any area of leadership or service, you know, that I need to be confident in that. So I pulled out and I stopped attending and did an awful lot of reading, an awful lot.
Oh,
of
wow.
Reading, you know, reading all kinds of apologetics books and also studying, reading different religious texts. But I came back to it.
Can you think of anything off the top of your head that stuck with you that really was influential?
I think the key thing is the forgiveness aspect, you know, that we don't earn our way to heaven through the way that we live our lives, right? That it really is a gift, and it's tied in through, God's plan, you know, sending his son, you know, to earth, eventually that he would be sacrificed on our behalf. You know, that loving act to me struck me as very different from some of the other religions.
Mm. It's interesting. This coming Sunday, I understand in some traditions for Christians is Reformation Sunday. And everything you just described is what I think they'll all be talking about on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I can even think of the passage in Romans 3 where it says, lays out exactly what you were just describing. So I don't know if you're going to church on Sunday, but maybe you could do the sermon. All right, so you started to sort of, in your reading, be exposed to a way of understanding Christianity that was kind of new and different for you, and that really brought you back to the faith.
I would say yes, or maybe it reaffirmed it in different ways. I think I knew those truths, but at that point, I think I reconciled myself to them.
Oh, good word. Watch out. Nowadays, where are you?
I'm totally still evolving. Mm. You know, you were going to continue at another question?
No. I like that you use the word evolving when it comes to spirituality.
Yeah. I'm 100% a work in progress, and I am not... I'm not done yet. God's not done with me yet. I should say I'm not completely in control of this thing. But it's interesting, you know. Through people he's brought into my life, you know, and through things that I've read, I continue to develop my way of thinking and my approach to life. A big one that we talked about over lunch, right? We talked about how there was someone on campus that was a crew leader. And he sought me out because he heard that I had a Christian faith, and he gave me this book, right, called A Grander Story.
Mm.
And it's these professors that talked about fully integrating their faith with their life as professors and how they carry themselves out in the classroom, how they care for their students, how they might pray for their students. And man, that really changed things for me, you know. Again, it's a mindset switch. So as a musician, I have been very, you know, self-focused in many ways, you know, like it's all about me, right?
Look at
it is, right? I'm putting out this new album, check it out, right? And, or whatever, you know? And so I'm in this shift now where I'm thinking, I don't want it to be about myself. I see my role on earth as being, you know, to glorify God in some way through what it is that I do. And so I'm constantly questioning, am I doing that through all aspects of my life?
Well, I like the way that you say that, glorifying God through all aspects of your life. That's one of the things I'm hoping to get at with the show, just generally speaking. What's the crossroad? How do they intersect? But I like that you described the idea that why should they ever have even been divided in the first place, leading a kind of holistic life.
Right.
Well, thanks for telling us about... your journey as a person of faith. You told us about your career. I'm wondering, you sort of touched on it a second ago in reference to that book. How do you from day to day kind of combine your life as a person of faith and your life as a musician who is now also a teacher?
Well, prayer is a big part of it.
Mm.
And that's something I've been learning how to do in more and more, right? Again, that's, how do you go about praying? I read a great book by this minister in Washington, D.C., Mark Batterson, And I think it was, what's the title of it now? I can't even remember.
Well, something we'll look that, it up. Mark Battison.
The Circle Maker is what
oh,
it was called.
Okay.
And I remember him saying this one thing that stuck with me. It's like, so if you're going to make an appointment to, or if you want, let's say you have, I'll start again. If you have an intention.
Oh, that's a good word.
If you have an intention to spend some time with a person, right? Mm-hmm. And you just say it, but you don't actually set up that time. What's the likelihood of that happening? Right. And I can even think sort of remorsefully of friends of mine that have passed away that we were saying, oh, man, let's get together and we'll do pancakes one of these weekends, you know, and then that friend died, you know. So if you don't set aside that time, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to very intentionally set aside time where I'd sit down and pray. And I have a prayer journal where I'll write in it and try to keep track of the things that I'm praying for. And also, so I can revisit that list and see where God is moving. What is God doing? Have my prayers actually been answered? So that coupled with trying to spend some time, you know, in reading the Bible, you know, so that will help to inform my faith and get me thinking about Him and spiritual matters.
Uh-huh.
Am I answering the question?
You're getting towards the part where you're about to talk about how you actually incorporate that into what you do as a musician.
As a musician. Okay. Because there's different aspects of my life, whether it's
sure.
being a musician or
feel,
being a
well,
teacher.
Well, here's
or,
a quite, one of the reasons I was excited to get you on the show is I think that music is very spiritual. And so I'm wondering also, do you feel that way, first of all? And second, do you feel that playing music is a way that you live into your spirituality, express it, experience it?
At times and in the right situation, yes. So a great memory that I have, fortunately it's a memory, but I'm trying to sort of recreate it at different times. For a period, I was leading worship at St. Paul's. We had a church in uh-huh. Storrs, right? And we had a designated jazz service, which was really cool. And we had real jazz musicians, you know, guys that were coming in from all kinds of New York and Hartford. And that was a really special time for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember that was one time where, if you're talking about the intersection of faith and what we do, my two worlds really collided there, you know. And it was different in many ways. It was different in that oftentimes I'm very, I guess self-absorbed would be the word, as I'm improvising, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about what I'm executing. I'm thinking about how people might respond. I'm trying to get that audience reaction, you know, where mm-hmm. they go, "Woo, check that out," or whatever, right? This was different, right? It was almost like I was performing at an audience of one. It was me and God. And I was trying to play for His glory. I was trying to get people involved to a certain extent, because we were leading worship where people could sing along. So that was different. And yes, I've played in different worship contexts, but it was the first time where I've been playing, where I played jazz, and it was the rhythms and the harmonies that I am so passionate about and was able to bring that to the congregation. You know? So that was a special time.
Mm.
But not only, you know, that's not the only time.
Sure.
Where I, you know, I have tons of compositions which are totally directly tied in with my faith, where I'm thinking about spiritual matters and might go to the piano and somehow that kind of comes out. So that's quite a common occurrence.
You know, I'm also wondering about, because you play jazz, you improvise. Sometimes music can bring one to sort of an ecstatic state. And I wonder about the spirituality of an ecstatic state brought about by music. So like, for example, maybe you're playing, whether it's alone or live or whatever the case may be, or you're rehearsing and things are just grooving. And all of a sudden, it's like you're almost on cloud nine. And I know this is a common thing with musicians. I'm wondering if you've ever given any thought to the idea of like how music is in and of itself a spiritual experience that sort of gets us out of even our bodies, out of our minds, and brings us to a place where we connect with something otherworldly that really can't be described, but through the music is experienced.
Well, man, you're deep. I don't know if I'll be honest, and I'll say I'm not.
Don't lie to a priest on the radio.
Yeah. I got to tell you, the caller's freaking me out, man.
Oh,
so,
that's great.
I don't know if I'm being fully honest, if I have reached that sort of transcendental, is that the word? That sort of plane or that level of spirituality when I'm playing. So yes, there's times, right? And there's times where I'll feel moved, where I might weep to a certain degree.
I think that counts.
I guess. So yeah, I definitely think there's a connection there. And I think that there is, it can create an openness of your soul. Whether it informs my spirituality, I would say no, maybe not so much. You know, I think, I don't want to get my mind in the way, but you know, my viewpoint would be I'd like to be informed by the Word of God. That would be the way that I would look at it, right? But with the mindfulness that God is alive still and working in mysterious ways. So,
do you believe there's a connection, a divine connection between music and the soul?
Absolutely. And I think you can see that in the Psalms, you know, through David's praises. Mm. And if most of those, I imagine, were set to music. It says many were, right? Aren't the Psalms interesting? Like, I love reading the Psalms because, check it out, like what I really like is how real he is, right? There's times where he is just outright praying against his enemies, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, take this dude down, you know?
Right, and, right, right.
You know, he's real. And, right. And I can relate to that. I won't say I'm praying to take people down, but but I can relate. And it's interesting to see how God used people like him, right? David absolutely had flaws. I have flaws. And that's encouraging to me.
Do you feel that God ever uses you through your music?
Sure. Partly through relationships with other musicians.
Mm.
It could be through, maybe you're going in another way. You're probably thinking in terms of, you know, am I used as a vehicle for other people's worship? I don't know. Possibly, if I'm thinking about that. I got an interesting song. I'll tell you about this piece that I'm writing now.
Wow.
Right? That's, and the piece is pretty much done. I'm tweaking it and I plan to record it.
Beautiful.
And it all came about with the election of our current president, right?
All right.
The Sunday after that election, I went to church and I was feeling gloomy. I'll admit that, right? So now you know my leanings, right?
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't get over it, and I couldn't get over the stats that, you know, so many Christians had voted in support of this person who I thought in many ways represented the antithesis of what Jesus represents.
Hmm.
And the worship leader led this song, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
Mm-hmm.
And they sang it in a reggae form, right? Very uplifting. But it was weighing on me. I was like, do people know that we are Christians by our love, by our loving actions, right? By supporting this person who has said this, this, and this, even now as I look at statistics, right? About evangelicals and how they continue to support him despite policies, you know, immigration policies or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was really heavy on my heart. So I arranged this piece. I arranged "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love," but I gave it a completely different treatment, right? So I made it heavier. I gave it this kind of loping 5/4 feel that's very dark, you know.
5/4.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So it's got this kind of ostinato figure that's like a really repetitive bass groove that's happening that's creates kind of a contemplative vibe, right? And the melody is stated in such a way that it's kind of, you know, it's these big long phrases that again, contemplative is the word. But you couldn't help but listen to this and say, okay, so what are we getting at here? There's got to be some kind of underlying message.
Well, what are you getting at there?
Well, I'm asking people to question their motives, and I'm asking them to, I guess what I'm really getting at is how tribalism has crept into faith, right? How somehow people have taken a stronger or more strongly associated with their ties to a political party than they are to their belief systems.
Mm.
And that one takes precedence over another. And that we need to start questioning this and thinking about, has that crept in? And how has that crept in?
I'm wondering, as I'm listening to your description, if are you toying with the idea that the title of the song is really, will they know we are Christians by our love? Rather
exactly.
than they will know.
Well, I had a problem with the fact that, with the way that it's originally stated, they will know. However, if you go back in the lyrics, I think it says, and I pray that
that all unity may one day
be restored.
Be,
and they'll know. So I think, and they'll pray that continues also to the second phrase.
Right.
And I'm with that. That's cool.
Uh-huh.
But it's like.
Unity is cool.
Well, yeah.
And so is
praying that they'll know we're Christians by our love.
Right.
However, when you just see the title, they will know we are Christians by our love. And oftentimes, I know I was, when I grew up singing that song, I wasn't thinking that I'd be praying that would be the intent. It was like smugly in my mind, you know, people will know we're Christians just by our loving actions and all that we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
By how much we're putting in the offering plate and hoping that it's going to go and do good somewhere.
Were young.
Well, exactly, right? But here's an example of where I'm using my music to hopefully stir some, the ultimate goal with this piece is to encourage dialogue. Maybe we'll bring you on board if you're brave enough. What we're doing, we're creating a multimedia presentation to go along with this, right?
Okay.
With subtle suggestive images that'll go along with it. It'll be a video.
I can be subtle and suggestive.
Well, there you go. We're looking for a moderator who might present this in a congregation, or I might bring it to multiple congregations, and then have conversations about it. And I don't plan to be condemning or to be even stating my own viewpoint. I've already stated it now if people, you know. However, these images will just kind of be unsettling.
Yeah.
And then we can ask some leading questions and see where it goes. And I think it might be an interesting way to generate dialogue.
Well, I'd say this, that off air, I have a suggestion of somebody, I think, who is it? Is Nate at your church?
Nate is at my church, yeah.
Oh, well, you got to call Nate. I bet you he'd be interested in the multimedia aspect.
Yeah,
I just had him on 2 weeks ago.
I just saw him and he mentioned
that. So you're way ahead of me. All right, good. That's incredible. And what I love about what you have to say about it is let's not just take things at face value and be settled. Let's remember that, you know, this is a lifelong endeavor, spiritual growth and connecting with God. And I'm encouraged that you're open to the idea of challenging. I think strong faith does not worry about doubt and that it's open to the idea of challenging ourselves, not just to sort of check as many good behaviors off on a list, but to really grow internally. And I hear a lot in that of that in what you're saying. I'm looking forward to it. We can certainly play it on the radio when it's all done.
Awesome.
And if you need a place to showcase it, come to St. Mark's. If you know, you can't think of a better place.
And we'll take you up on that offer.
I appreciate it. I would say this. We got about 30 seconds left. Is there something that you would want to say to leave us off with?
I don't know. I guess I was, the scripture that I was thinking about today, right? Thinking about, so what is the greatest commandment? Do you know it off by heart?
Sure, I do.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself, love God, blah, blah, blah.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind,
right?
And all your strength. So that's something that I was thinking about. It's also a song that I'm working on arranging as well.
Mm.
But I'm thinking of doing a whole album of some of these Christian tunes in a different light, right? I'm thinking maybe a good analogy is a different frame to present them within, you know. But I've really been thinking about that verse and how that applies to my own life.
Mm.
And that's what I would encourage other people to think about too, right? How do you do that in a practical way? And I guess that's what we're trying to discuss today. And so that's the theme summarized.
Well, I appreciate that. Loving God, figuring out a way to do it in a real and practical way. Thank you. It was great having you on. Everybody, thank you to Earl MacDonald for giving us his time today. I'm the Reverend Brian Blair. It's been enjoyable having you on Crossroads. We will see you again next week. This is WHUS 91.7 FM Stores. Uh-oh.